This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, punch of the time clock. A cold, wet Wednesday afternoon in East Tennessee. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're staying warm. Hope you're staying dry. Big show lined up for you this afternoon. School is out for the rest of the week.
Good for them.
Yeah, right?
Not a big shocker.
These kids, these teachers, got it easy, man. They got it easy, except for the ones that, you know, sick with the thing.
I think that's a big problem right now.
Evidently.
Cases have doubled in the past week.
The hospitals are okay, though, right? I mean, it's a nasty cold.
Unless you absolutely have to. I had a checkup this morning. My doctor told me that unless it's an emergency, you really don't want to go near an emergency room right now. It's not just COVID.
Yeah, the flu. It's a nasty flu bug going around. I'd rather get COVID than that flu bug, man.
I'm beginning to think so.
Ten times out of ten.
Junior. The Cubs mom, they were convinced she had COVID and didn't start her on Tamiflu, but she tested negative on every kind of COVID test that they have. She had a fever. It finally broke and overnight, but bless her heart, she had a fever that was between 100 and 102 for 6 days.
God.
She's lost like 15. I mean, she just it has wiped her out.
What do you do with that? Do you just, I mean, do you take ibuprofen? Like, what do you take for that?
I think you alternate like ibuprofen and Tylenol and just drink plenty of fluids. But I mean, it's not good to cook like that for that long.
No.
So, did you ever have when you were a kid?
No, I've been knock on wood. Like I've been.
Did you ever spike one?
Not that I recall. How big a fever can you stand? Like, what are you supposed to seek?
I barely remember it. I think I was like 4, but I remember bits and pieces of it being real sick. But I think I got up like 104, 105, and obviously had to go to the hospital and get.
So it's like over 103. Like you can. 103 is not good, but you can kind of ride that out. If it gets any higher than that, you probably
get like 104. It's maybe time to start seeking emergency medical attention. So I've got an old dear family friend of ours. His brother, he's passed away since then. And not from this, but he spiked one up to, I think, my buddy said it got up to like 106 and it caused like permanent brain damage.
Oh.
So, I mean, it can get dangerous quick, but yeah, that and the only other thing my doctor said was, you know, the flu and Omicron are everywhere right now. So be careful.
Well, hoping everybody is well. I'm sure we have a lot of people who are taking a sick day or just sitting around listening. So God bless those of you. Hope you get well soon. But Bear's right, man. It's a lot of nasty stuff out there, and it has shut down Knox County schools for the rest of the week. Tennessee shut things down at Vanderbilt last night. Ninth win in a row over the Commodores and the seventh in a row in Nashville. Rick Barnes walks out with the deed to Memorial Gym in one pocket and the rent, cash money, in the other pocket as he slaps Jerry Stackhouse across the mouth and walks out a winner once again.
Shout out to free throws.
It is so sweet to beat those punks. Vandy boys.
Vandy boys.
And people are just weird.
Urosh and Zakai Ziegler, the heroes for Tennessee. It looked like the Volunteers were going to blow an 8-point lead in the last 4 minutes of the game. Vanderbilt comes all the way back to tie it at 60, but a timely Urosh Plavsic put back bucket, a couple of stops, and a Zakai Ziegler steal helps ice it for Tennessee, and the Volunteers turn their attention to Will Wade. LSU coming up next Saturday night at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. And I've been saying it, this week feels like a turning point week. You did what you had to do last night. You were able to take care of business. And now I think a real opportunity for this team to get a win that I think could send Tennessee on a run. You've got a Florida team that I don't think is very good, that Rick Barnes has performed well against coming in next week for a midweek game. And then you've got a Texas team on the road that is not playing well right now. We're going to talk to Aaron Torres about that coming up in hour number two. But, Bear, I feel like this is a chance. I mean, Will Wade has had Tennessee's number. He's owned Rick Barnes here of late. I feel like that was the low point of the season so far to me, even more so than losing at Kentucky. I feel like that was a turning point game, and I feel like this is a chance for Tennessee. You don't get these opportunities that often. If you lose Saturday, I'm not saying that the season's over and that it's destined for failure, but if you win, I think this could be a springboard game for Rick Barnes and this Tennessee basketball team.
Absolutely. Like I said, I don't know if you heard me. They just replayed the game on SEC Network. Just finished watching it. Watched it for the past couple of hours while I was waiting for 3 o'clock to roll around. I'm even more impressed with a couple of those shots that Uros hit. It showed an incredible touch that he's really not shown since he's been here. I know they were close in, but you know, he had the one jump shot hook, and then the big one after Zakai missed the three, which you said last night on the Volunteer Reaction Twitter space. He had a hell of a look, and it almost went down, but Uros, you know, boxed out, posted up, grabbed that rebound with both hands, and just with an incredible shot, just nothing but net.
He came up big, and I don't know if that's going to play in the future. Urosh Plavsic last night in 21 minutes had 13 points and 7 rebounds. I don't know if he can do that against LSU, against the Kentuckys, the Auburns of the world. We'll see. But if he can,
yeah.
You don't need 13 and 7 every night out of him. If you can get 8 and 6, that'd be fine. But obviously Fulkerson he's not playing well right now. Huntley Hatfield, in my opinion, just not ready to produce consistently either. And the door is wide open for a guy like Urosh to get in there and carve out a role on this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely seized his opportunity. So is Zakai Ziegler. We'll break it down, I'm sure, throughout the show. Excuse me. Just a lot of I took away, a lot of positives last night. I'm sure we'll look at the negatives. Big thing for me that I noticed on this one is Chandler's got to have a plan if you're going to go that deep into the paint, down to the baseline.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a really interesting development as Kennedy Chandler ended the game on the bench after I think he had five turnovers, maybe more than that.
I think he had six.
Just proved himself unreliable. I don't blame Barnes. I mean, it paid off down the stretch and just putting him on the bench. And obviously he has he's a key guy going forward. So I don't think that's, you're going to see Kennedy Chandler continue to play a lot for Tennessee. Big news today. Tennessee announces a home and home football series with Washington out of the Pac-12. They will play a home and home in 2029 in Neyland, 2030 at Husky Stadium in Seattle. And we will talk more about that coming up here this afternoon as well. When we continue, Joe Rexroad of The Athletic joins from Nashville, where Titans fever has gripped Music City. And, of course, the Vols go in there and steal a win at Vanderbilt again last night. We'll talk about that with Joe coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Malone.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, Russell Bear and Jake at your service. Joe Rexroad of The Athletic, 102.5 The Game in Nashville, joining us this afternoon. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, man. I'd imagine it's a pretty big week in Nashville. This must be a fun week to be on the radio.
It is pretty easy. Yeah, it's a lot of it better than top 100 sports movies week in July.
But, yeah.
It's exciting. Finally the Titans back on the field, and Derrick Henry talked a little bit today, and that moment when he comes out of the tunnel should be something else on Saturday.
No doubt about it, and everything is kind of falling the Titans' way here late, and they get that one seed and the bye week and an extra week for Derrick Henry to work his way back into shape. What do you think his role is going to be Saturday?
Well, I'm sure that there will be some kind of splitting of series among the running backs, Derrick Henry and then Deontay Foreman, who's done a really good job. But, look, Derrick Henry is – he's healed, This isn't like – that foot's still hurting, but he's going to plow through and just stick it out and see if you can get him a couple carries. It's going to be like 12 weeks here. And obviously there's always a re-injury risk, and there's no guarantee, but he's healthy. He's 100%. It's surgically repaired. He's got a screw in the foot, and from now on that's how he's going to play football if he plays football. So I just think that if you're talking about a close game in the fourth quarter, even if I would expect that they would – ease him into it a bit. But, if you're talking about a close game in the fourth quarter, how do you resist giving him the ball as many times as you can give him the ball? That's when he demolishes defenses.
Titans fans on your show, the folks you talk to, feel confident for a playoff game this weekend?
Yeah, I would say so. There's always the negative Nellies who are afraid. and of course, people who – Titans fans, of course, who have been Titans fans the whole time that they've been the Titans, know that they've been a number one seed twice. And 21 years ago, the 2000 season, 2001, January 1, that was the best team in the NFL. And Ray Lewis and the Ravens got them and won it all. And, the Titans probably would have rolled to a title too, but they blew that one. They blew another one to the Ravens. They're 0-2 as the one seed. Some people don't like that, but to me, it's like, believe me, you want to be the one seed every chance you can. And the one seed alone now is special because it's the only team that gets a bye. So I think there's definitely some trepidation when it comes to Joe Burrow, and hey, it's totally understandable. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Burrow. That is a loaded offense that can score points in a hurry. So, there could be better matchups than what the Bengals bring, but still, I think if the Titans are all healthy and whole on offense and play their best football, then they're the better team.
Well, and to me, all the attention is going to be on the Bengals offense and the Derrick Henry situation. But to me, Joe, this feels like a huge moment, a defining moment, if you will, for Ryan Tannehill. He has been good. He earned the big contract. He had the great run 2 years ago in the playoffs where he did his thing. He was not good last year against the Ravens in the playoffs. And this feels to me like a – like I said, a defining moment for him, and you don't make a run in the playoffs without good quarterback play. And I think we all expect Burrow to go out there and do his thing. What kind of performance are we going to see out of Ryan Tannehill Saturday?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think he'll play well. You know, I mean, he has been in pressure situations. You're right. He wasn't good enough last year. You know, he missed A.J. Brown streaking down the field. Yep. You know, it just didn't make enough plays. Corey Davis was knocked out of the game, but still, like, he just didn't make enough plays. He was good in the run 2 years ago for sure. And look, I mean, the Titans are committed to him. I mean, his cap hit goes from 11 this year to, like, 38 mil next year. So, and, like, the dead money is just outrageously huge. So, I mean, like, basically the next 2 years he's going to be the quarterback of this team unless there's, you know, somehow there's some trade, and I don't think they would want that. I mean, the Titans are happy with him as a quarterback, but yeah, I mean, if he's the, if they lose and he's why, you know, then that's a sobering reality looking forward here. I agree, this is a defining moment for him in his career.
Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and 102.5 The Game in Nashville joining us this afternoon. And Joe, last night Memorial Gym, Rick Barnes and Tennessee rolls in there and does what Rick Barnes has done, which is beat Vanderbilt. He really has their number. Vanderbilt playing a little bit better this year, but still unable to get the job done. What was your thoughts on what we saw from Tennessee last night in Nashville?
Yeah, well, I wrote off that about Zakai Ziegler, who is just a joy to watch. And to me, Tennessee doesn't – yeah, I tell you what, you know, you go back to like – you know, first few minutes of the second half, Vanderbilt, I think, had gotten up to about a 5 or 6 point lead on Tennessee. And it just, the balls just weren't playing well. You know, turning it over, not hitting shots, foul trouble. Just, you know, it wasn't trending well for them. And I think he changed the game. There was one play in particular where he and Vescovi harassed Trey Thomas into a turnover, and he had a lot of emotion. And he got the Tennessee fans, and there were more Tennessee than Vanderbilt fans in the building last night, got them going. And I thought that he had a stretch there that helped change the game, and then, of course, he gets the play of the game. I mean, Plavsic gets the bucket, which is a great play by him, and I thought that was encouraging for the Vols. But then Ziegler gets in there and steals the inbounds and then hits both those free. Guy goes 0 for 8, you know, but he goes 11 for 12 from the line, 4 steals. He's something else. He's a warrior. And the Vols need more people with his attitude and approach, you know, and it should be infectious. So, yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt is better. You know, Scottie Pippen ties the game late, and you're like, about a minute to go, and who knows what could happen. Credit to the Vols for pulling it out. I do think Plavsic is increasingly a guy I look at and say, you know what, he's often the biggest guy out there. He looks like he's starting to realize, yes, here in the paint, I can do things and, you know, get easy buckets and get rebounds rather than, you know, I want to pick and pop and shoot a 20-footer. And defensively, I think in ball screen D, he's getting better. So, like, there's some things that are maybe coming together. I like that Justin Powell played 29 minutes. It's still sort of discombobulated, and you just don't know what you're going to get offensively from this team and you know, in the front court. But, hey, it's a bounce back from the Kentucky loss, and now they just have to keep building on it.
Be interested to get your thoughts. We visit with Joe Rexroad of The Athletic and 102.5 The Game this afternoon on the show. Joe, on the potential, the ultimate potential of this Tennessee team, you mentioned the negative Nellies, as you called them, the Titans fans. Not sure if you're aware of this, Joe, but Tennessee basketball has some of those folks as well. And, you know, there's a lot of Tennessee fans that I feel like just kind of arms crossed, waiting. Yeah. We'll see what happens in March. Rick Barnes has a reputation of not getting it done come tournament time. Do you think that's fair? Do you think this is a team that can buck that reputation, or do you think this is another team that's going to, you know, struggle to make it out of that first weekend of the big dance?
Well, I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, last year when they lost Oregon State, I mean, you know, I kind of looked at that and wrote about it. And I mean, it's a long track record of teams that, like, there's so many teams he's had, you know, that by their regular season performance should have done better than they did in the postseason. And I think it is fair. It's also, like, you always have to keep it in perspective of what he's done with this program, where things are, where recruiting is, and what this program has been, too. I mean, that's important to keep in mind. And I don't know with this team. Kennedy Chandler is special. I think there's a better chance with, like, a Kennedy Chandler as your one and done, okay, than there is, like, you know, last year with Johnson and Springer, it was kind of like, well, you know, they're really athletic and talented, but, like, guys like that, they can't carry a team, you know. But Kennedy Chandler, if he keeps growing into his role as the floor general, I mean, he can have a lot more say in outcomes. Last night he wasn't perfect. He had some mistakes late game that you want to clean up, but I still think he's special. I love what Vescovi's doing on a nightly basis. I mean, last night, and you know, I said Ziegler with the competitive fire. I mean, certainly Vescovi getting into it with any Vanderbilt player who wanted to tangle with them. So, I like the backcourt. I think there are pieces there. There's a lot of guys who got. I mean, Conwell's gotten way better, right? Plavsic has gotten better. I think Fulkerson may be, you know, losing his role here. I mean, I think that's the real. But you know what? If it's because of other guys playing better than him, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think there are pieces there for that team to play beyond the first weekend. But a lot of it probably is going to come down to the freshman point guard. Is he ready to come in right away and just be a star and lead the way and let everything kind of settle in after him and the way he's playing. But again, I like the chances of that better than, I mean, last year's team, they just didn't have the pieces in the right places.
And what about that Vanderbilt program? I remember talking to you last year when they were struggling so badly and asking if, you know, there's a chance that the Stackhouse era could be short-lived. And you said, you know, no, they're going to work through this with him. And certainly they look a little bit better this year, but still a long way off from being elite or even a tournament team. Just what are your thoughts on the overall direction of that program, and what are the Vanderbilt fans that you talk to on the game, and what is the feeling generally around Vanderbilt basketball right now?
Well, I think the feeling is, and it transcends whoever's coaching, is apathy. And we were talking about this today, in a brief break from Titans talk, but, you know, just forget about, okay, is it Stackhouse's fault, Brewster's fault? I mean, the Vanderbilt basketball fan hasn't had anything to cheer about since 2017, you know, and that's ridiculous. I mean, and that team, that required Bryce Drew in his first year to make this late run to get that team into the tournament. It's just been, I think there's a lot of apathy around that program and around football as well. You know, as far as Stackhouse, I mean, it's at some point it's like, okay, well, you have all these reasons, but let's see more results. Yes, they're better this year. I mean, win at Arkansas, win over BYU, those are quadrant one wins. Like, they, you know, they're better, but I thought they could be better than this. They got this big man, Liam Robbins, from Minnesota. They were very excited. They thought it would change how they would play. He hasn't played a second. He's got a foot stress reaction, and we'll see. You know, who knows if we see him at all. You know, he lost Aaron Neesmith 2 years ago. He lost Dylan Dessou last year. Every year there's a devastating injury. So that's part of, you know, kind of a built-in excuse for Stackhouse. In the meantime, like, they've gotten better, and he's got one of the best recruiting classes Vanderbilt's had in a long time coming in next year. So, like, there's no Stackhouse's job talk going on. But, yeah, I think there's definitely apathy, and I think it's a really important, apart from the job, which he's not going to lose, but I think it's a really important few weeks ahead here. You know, if you have another 3-4 win team in the SEC, I think it gets harder and harder to keep things together, and I think you get more and more of the fan base lined up against you.
Finally, Joe, last thing for you here. We stumbled onto this topic yesterday as we were going off the air. We're going to kick it around some more here this afternoon, and I fully expect a heated debate, the likes of which we haven't seen much around here on Fan Run Radio. If you had to choose just one, you can only go to one, and the other restaurant is going to go away, Joe, Waffle House or Cracker Barrel?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I'm a Waffle House loyalist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will acknowledge that I think Cracker Barrel, like, really, like, over the long run, probably live longer. If that's, you know, like, they have more variety in the menu, and you can probably find some, you know, some things that can, you know, that you're not going to, like, clog your arteries in a year like I would at Waffle House if I went every day. But I'm still going to pick Waffle House all day.
Excellent.
Give me the Waffle House.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm legitimately torn. I could make a great argument on either side of it, but I mean, the Waffle House people, I mean, it's not a cult, Joe, but it's it's venturing in the vicinity. I mean, all we're missing is a guy getting a bunch of guns and moving to a spread in Montana, and we could have a Waffle House cult.
Yeah, no, you're right. It gets a little. It can get a little bit scary, but I'd still be much more comfortable among the Waffle House cultists than the Crystal cultists. I want nothing to do with those people.
Really? Oh. You not down with the Crystal?
Wait, just a dad go minute, Joe Rex Road.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Well, here's the thing, though. I got to – now, listen. I never had Crystal. Like, up in the north, it was, you know, it was White Castle. It's basically the same thing, and I used to love it. But part of that is because, like, that's absolutely something. Once you, like, cross into the mid-30s, I don't know how anybody can digest any of that without their stomach exploding on them. So that's part of it, too. It's like, I can't even have it even if I wanted to, you know?
I had a sack full yesterday, boys.
Wow. Wow. And he's still here. He's still made it to the show. Now he's on location right now, Joe. He might be doing the show live from the toilet. I don't know, but he is here on air. So he did survive. On that note, Joe, we're gonna let you go. Always appreciate it, my man. Hey, enjoy playoff weekend in Nashville.
All right, will do. Thanks, Russ. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Joe Rexroad of the Athletic Morning Show on 102.5 The Game in Nashville, making his presence felt. A sack full, Bear. You ate 12 crystals at your age, in your condition.
No, I haven't eaten if I'm being honest, I hadn't eaten a sack full since I was probably in my late 20s.
I had one
if I
last
go to
week.
Crystal now, I'll grab, you know, like, a couple. Just get a little taste.
Three
is my limit.
Three? I'm not buying that.
You got to get the Nashville hot chicks. You got to get the corn pups. You got to get the fries. You got to get everything.
I
will be honest with everybody. Back last spring, when I was going through treatment, when you're going through treatment, they put you on this stuff called dexamethasone. It's a high-powered steroid. And it makes you feel like $1 million. It also makes you incredibly hungry. Kind of similar to weed. And it also can jack your blood sugar through the roof. So I was on that dexamethasone and hadn't eaten in like a week and got really hungry about 1 a.m. one night and went to Crystal. And I ate 6 crystals, fries, a chili cheese pup, one of those 44-ounce kegs of Coke, and finished it off with dessert with like 10 of those what are the sweet bite things?
Oh, those are so good.
Oh, they're delicious.
Awful.
By the time I got to the cancer infusion center the next day,
that was worse than the cancer, what you ate, everything. That was actually more unhealthy than the cigarettes.
That's what my oncologist said. Because I got to the infusion center the next day, and they always test your blood sugar because of dexamethasone. I was sitting at 450. Normal is like between 80 and 150.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they had to give me insulin.
They're like, dude, we're trying to save your life here, and you're eating sackfuls of crystals and
you just
cheese
made
dogs.
Yourself a diabetic.
Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Does your company have vehicle?
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear and Jake with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Are we supposed to get more snow tonight?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow during the day. Or starting in the morning.
How much?
I didn't see a forecast for how much.
Not enough to cause a run on bread and milk.
I mean, probably not at this point. I mean, everybody should still be stocked up from last week's non-event.
Yeah.
Or a couple of days ago, so.
All right. So battle lines are being drawn. We stumbled into this late yesterday in the midst of Bears meltdown.
Why you gotta bring that up?
You're in a better mood today. It's good. But I bring it up because I think it's what precipitated the conversation late in the show about Waffle House versus Cracker Barrel. And I'm legitimately torn. I have no idea. Like, if you only had to choose one, years ago for me, it would have been Waffle House.
Well, I don't understand when this change has come about. My all-time favorite picture of you is you leaning against the wall. You are the only person I know who gets a to-go Diet Coke in the Waffle House cup.
I get it. Well, first of all, I get a to-go cup everywhere. When they charge, people charge like $2.29 or whatever it is now for a soda. I'm getting my $2.50 worth of soda before I leave there. And so I'm going to drink at least two glasses, preferably three, at the actual location, and then I'm getting a to-go cup.
Don't do it in England. You'll end up like me.
But you've gotten, this is part of the foundation of your persona. I mean, you're a known Waffle House enthusiast.
I know.
I mean, going back to when anytime your wife leaves town, you and your children eat pretty much exclusively at Waffle House.
Well, my Waffle House intake has plummeted drastically. It used to be at least once a month, usually two to three times a month thing for me. Like, I would eat there a lot. I think I ate there last year four or five times.
Really?
Yeah.
The greatest eating exhibition I've ever seen in my life was thrown down at the Merchants Drive Waffle House by one of our longtime callers.
Who?
Raj.
Oh, well, Roger doesn't get, he's not human, man. I mean, he's just a human garbage disposal.
He ate 14 pork chops.
Atta boy, Raj.
I don't know, man. Maybe this is just a part of my midlife crisis. Now that, I'm 40, it's like I just don't eat much breakfast anymore. I don't eat much during the day. Now, during the evening, I will absolutely pig out. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be some sort of health freak, but I just don't eat much during the day. And that used to be the thing, is like you wake up late, have your morning coffee, whatever, go get yourself a big kind of brunch
meal. All-American.
Yeah, 11:30-ish, noon at Waffle House to really set the tone for a day, and I just can't do that anymore.
Well, now here's the wild thing.
Yeah.
In all my years, I have maybe, in all the times I've eaten at Waffle House, only maybe two or three times have I actually eaten at Waffle House during breakfast hours.
Oh, I think Waffle House gets better as the day goes on.
it peaks at like 2 a.m.
I don't know that, like, I don't think I've ever set foot in a Waffle House between the hours of 3 a.m. and 10. And that's probably the best time to go, or what it's meant for, but that's not my experience.
Yeah, but you can't eat three meals at Waffle House. You can't eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Waffle House. You go to Cracker Barrel, you can get all three and then get you a lollipop or a chocolate bar on the way out.
No, hold on now. You can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Waffle House.
No, you cannot.
Sure you can.
No, their other food is garbage. If it ain't their hash browns, it's garbage.
It's good for breakfast, it's delicious for lunch, and it can't be top for dinner and a late night snack.
Well, I'm just saying they obviously have breakfast, but you can have a nice burger or sandwich for you
Patty
can get a BLT. Yeah. And then you can go in there and have a steak dinner. It's not a good steak, granted, but you can do that.
Russell, that's like great
E-meat. I can steak and eggs with a waffle quite a bit.
I will give you a don't sleep on Waffle House dessert. Chocolate cream pie at Waffle House.
That's been sitting in that refrigerator for 5 days.
Hey, the longer it sits there, the better it gets,
No.
Oh, yeah.
You go to Cracker Barrel, that's like eating your mom's cooking. You go to Waffle House, it's like the Fort Benning Chow Hall.
It all comes out of a can at Cracker Barrel.
Well, I will say, for the purposes of this debate, as we sit here today, and this my opinion has changed over the last couple of years, and maybe it'll change back, I don't know. But if I could only choose one, I'm going Cracker Barrel.
Attaboy, Russell.
Waffle House eggs are far superior. Far superior.
I think they have better eggs. I will give you that.
I don't eat eggs.
And I prefer a good Waffle House waffle. And a lot of times there's nothing to beat a stack of Cracker Barrel pancakes with that delicious maple syrup, but it's still not as good as that Waffle House waffle. Great.
Those pancakes are fantastic. Best pancakes in the game, I think, are Cracker Barrel.
Hands down.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Just fantastic.
Get you a pork chop on the side.
That's
absolutely disgusting.
You get the biscuits, the bowl of gravy to dip them in.
Ugh.
Some jam. Big biscuit guy.
Your arterial, what do they call it, where they put a stent in?
Maybe.
After you eat all that gravy?
Maybe, but what a way to go. Oh, I dig in.
Get you that chocolate bar on the way to the hospital.
865-546-8200, the smoking hot question. Cracker Barrel versus Waffle House, the debate to end all debates. We will arrive at a consensus. The voting is very close right now on my Twitter poll. 150 votes cast, 55% Cracker Barrel, 45% Waffle House. Very close, very divisive. What do you think about it? The people have an opportunity to speak. 865-546-8200. TJ, the Kentucky fan, is up first today. Hello, TJ.
Hey, bud. I'm over here quarantining, getting ready for this blizzard we're about to have. But I can tell you one thing. If my Waffle House cook ain't got a cigarette in his ear, I don't want his cooking. I'm taking Waffle House every day over Cracker Barrel. I'm sorry, Cracker Barrel, it used to be good, but then they changed a lot of things. I'm taking Waffle House, man.
Wow. I would prefer my cook not to smoke, but hey, to each his own.
Hey, TJ, well, if you like that.
While he's scrambling
your eggs.
Well,
you can't do that, right? I mean, that'd be illegal.
Tell that to the Scotties up in Caryville.
Scotty's good burgers.
Scotty's is great.
They used to be able to do that. And then Furio did it famously in Sopranos.
He did what?
Don't you remember that when he was when Tony got him that job working for Artie and Charmaine Bucco, and he was smoking while he was cooking. Had the big ash hanging off his cigarette. You don't
did
remember
you know,
that scene?
The egg as a symbol of life. In The Sopranos, you go back and look all the times that somebody was killed and was served eggs before they died or before they were attempted to be killed. How about that?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Go back and look at it. Go look at the
eggs. About Adriana?
She tried to serve
Christopher some scrambled
eggs,
didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah. And then she got it.
Oh, and Big Carmine with his egg.
He died choking on egg salad.
I smell burning hair.
The Junior offered Tony an egg, the table right before their incident. Just blew your mind, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back
Sopranos,
and rewatch
man,
it now.
It's good writing, man. The stuff is deep. It's deep. I'm sorry, TJ. Go on with your phone call.
Oh, no, hey, I'm listening. I'm sitting here drinking something. I can't, you know, do nothing anyway. Just this Omicron crap. But anyway.
You got the Rona?
Yeah, I had to go get tested today. It's, you know, it's weird. I
thought you had it like 2 months ago.
He did.
Yeah, and I almost died from it. But now I just got a headache. Like,
Omicron doesn't care if you've had it before.
That's bizarre, man.
No, I went to the doc and I was like, hey, man, I've had this headache for like 3 days. And they're like, oh, yeah, go get tested. That's a symptom. I'm like, I don't have anything else. I just got a headache. It's sinuses, right? No. But anyways, hey, look, you know, this is a problem for Kentucky. I don't know what it is for Tennessee, but I noticed that the spring ball cutoff was yesterday, and that's going to hinder Kentucky getting some transfers maybe coming in for the football team, because now they can't go into school until the next semester, not this semester. So how does that – because I know we have an Alabama wide receiver on campus right now, but – do you guys know anything with Tennessee's enrollment date? Does that mess with your football or basketball transfers too? I never knew that.
Tennessee's in the same boat.
Tennessee added a mini term. Back when I was in school, they had the semester system. And they had a mini term where you can do one class. It's like a 3 or 4 hour a day thing in May. And they added another one in January. But to do that, they had to move the start date for the spring semester back to – I think it's maybe middle of next week or maybe even the week after. It's late January. And for the transfer portals, it's some rule where you can't visit until a week before they start or something. It's really bizarre. I don't understand it. It's some arcane, dumbass NCAA thing. But, it's hampered Tennessee's recruiting efforts as well.
Yeah, it's crazy because we were going after a Georgia cornerback. I guess his name was Amir Speed, but he came out and was like, if I can't go to spring ball, then I don't want to, and he committed to Michigan State today. So it's crazy. They should just let him, I know there's rules.
I hate it for you. I really do.
Oh, I know. Hey, last night I didn't watch the game in poor old Duke. Fire Coach K, anyways, did you guys – I didn't watch the game. I'm just asking. Did you guys dominate them? I know y'all won by, 10, something like that. I know the score was probably a lot closer.
No, they did not dominate. It was a close game, yeah.
It was the exact opposite. The score was not – we won by 8, 68-60, and the score was not indicative of how dangerously, ridiculously close that game was and should not have been. That was
– I mean, we hit 6 free throws in the last minute. They got us to 68.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
Zakai Ziegler buried his free throws.
A win's a win. Let's just.
Otherwise, we might have lost to Jerry Krackhouse last night.
Jerry Krackhouse.
Thank you, TJ. Hope you feel better, bud.
Yeah, man.
All right, let's get Westchester in here next. Westchester, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
I've never had more in common with TJ in my life. I'm getting my Corona test tomorrow, and I got to say, the Waffle House has gone uphill while the Cracker Barrel has gone downhill over the last 20 years. And
what did change about the Waffle House? The Waffle House has not gone uphill or downhill. The Waffle House is just Waffle House, man. It's been the same
thing.
Don't
discount consistency, Russell.
I'm not. I'm just pointing this out.
Stop interrupting Westchester. Go ahead, Westchester.
You were ready to flush him yesterday, Bear.
Yeah.
I did flush him.
No, you didn't. I kept him on.
I'll talk to you about that later. Go ahead, Westchester.
The Cracker Barrel's gone downhill so much. They're overpriced. They're just not. Their quality isn't what it used to be. But
$6.99 for chicken and dumplings, Westchester.
Be nice. Be nice.
$3 for a sweet tea.
That's good sweet tea.
Better be. Better have a little something in it. Although I guess since they want $5 for a beer, $3 for a sweet tea probably ain't too bad of a deal. The only thing I don't like about Waffle House is, you're kind of at their mercy. Like if you go there in the afternoon and you got the midday cook that just sucks, and for whatever reason they can't fire him because they can't replace him, so they just keep him around even though everybody complains, and he hands you a plate of food that just sucks. I mean, you can't send it back. It's not going to be any better. So that's the only downside about Waffle House is when it's bad, it's just. You can't send it back. Cracker Barrel, you can send back anything. You can be like, these are
the Waffle House experience, and maybe this is part of the charm for some people, but it can go bad in a hurry. Like it can spiral out of control quickly. Cracker Barrel, you pretty much know what's going to happen. The worst thing is you're going to have to wait a while on your food. Waffle House, you might see a brawl. The staff might be involved. You might get an undercooked egg. Like, you don't know. I mean, there's always an element of the unknown. And what did Geraldo say? Borderline dangerous atmosphere at Waffle House anytime you walk in there. Maybe that's part of the appeal.
Guys, I know y'all getting up against it here, but I'll be quick with this. The only time I've ever been seriously uncomfortable in a restaurant was when I walked into a Waffle House at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, our Waffle House, Russ. And the staff was just, well, I don't know how to say it and not get in trouble, but it was scary. They were singing and dancing and all kinds of weird stuff, and it just, all I wanted was some bacon and eggs and coffee before I went into work. But it was uncomfortable. Other than that, guys, yeah, Waffle House over Cracker Barrel, and I never would have thought that I would have said that 20 years ago. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
Thank you, Westchester. Appreciate the phone call. 865-546-8200. Jared says, we know what we're getting when we go to Waffle House. We know the steak is not Ruth's Chris. At the G.I. Jake, worst take I've ever heard on this station. That's saying something. Waffle House is elite 24/7.
No, it is not.
I don't know that it's elite 24/7. I can't think of many bad meals I've had at Waffle House, but there's been a couple of times where I'm like, I don't know about this.
This one's always this. I mean, this is, it comes up every couple of years, but some of our most heated debates where people have lost tempers always seems to center around breakfast and arguing over breakfast items and breakfast places.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, hour number two, coming up.